I'm Peter Bonner McNiss, and he is Chris Lang. And welcome to another of these regular property briefings. And a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
While I was looking through the papers the other day, I noticed a property being advertised as a sale and leaseback amongst the various commercial properties being sold. Is that something an investor should consider?
Well, perhaps before addressing the specific question you raised, I need to say that some investors are rather sceptical about sale and leasebacks, believing them to be merely a pump and dump exercise by vendors, and therefore it's probably worth first gaining a better understanding of what a sale and leaseback actually involves and what in fact motivates a company to enter into such a transaction. Because by doing so, you'll start to appreciate that as an investor, these deals will often provide you with considerable built-in protection.
So what exactly is a sale and leaseback?
Okay, typically it's just a commercial property transaction in which one party sells its corporate real estate assets to another, and then the seller leases the property back at a rental rate and on lease terms acceptable to the new owner. Now, a sale and leaseback transaction involves a sale and the simultaneous commitment to a long-term lease of generally 5 to 10 years, and that allows the company selling the property to redeploy the capital that's been invested in its real estate back into its core business activities.
Why would a business look to sell and lease back?
Well, raising the funds through a sale and lease back offers the business owner a number of important advantages. The first is that it converts equity into cash, and with a sale and lease back, the seller regains use of the capital that would otherwise be tied up in the property ownership. And at the same time, the seller retains possession and continues to use the property for lease. And with a sale and lease back, the seller replaces a fixed asset, being the real estate, with a current asset, being the cash proceeds from the sale. Now, most companies will generate at least a 20% returns on the funds invested within their business, as opposed to a 6.5% to say 7.5% return when it's invested in the property. Moreover, having a significant injection of cash allows the business to embark upon strategic growth and also pursue opportunities that may otherwise have been foregone in the past. Plus, undervalued real estate in a company's books often serves as a target for corporate raiders, and so a timely release of funds through a sale and leaseback transaction may well serve as a deterrent, providing management of that company with the funds to resist any takeover. And furthermore, a long-term lease is also not inviting to raiders, as is undervalued real estate. So hopefully by now you're starting to see that the vendor or the company who is about to become your tenant is actually one which now has considerable cash reserves and is therefore a much stronger entity for you as a tenant. And as such, that should give you as a landlord considerable comfort about their ability to maintain their ongoing lease commitments.
And how do sale and leasebacks differ from normal investment purchases?
The properties you'd normally buy, you'd understand that the lease structure has already been negotiated and therefore cannot be changed, and you are simply being asked to take it or leave it in its present form. However, that's not necessarily the case with a sale and leaseback, because the vendor and the tenant are effectively one and the same entity. Now, generally, you're able to make some changes to the proposed lease conditions. For example, with a recent purchase for one of my clients, the proposed lease term was 5 years with a five-year option. However, I wanted to test the intentions of the vendor as to how long they intended to stay in the property, and therefore we made it a condition of our purchase proposal that the initial lease term be extended from 5 to 7 years. And this was agreed to as part of the price negotiations, along with a number of other minor changes that we sought to make to the final lease agreement. And because the vendor now had significant cash reserves, you can often negotiate a worthwhile bank guarantee by way of added security.
Is there anything else you need to watch out for?
Well, yes, there is, actually, and that is the issue of GST. In other words, there has to be a lease in place prior to settlement so that the transaction is not treated to attract GST. In other words, you need it to be what's called a going concern. Now, that's usually not difficult. I mean, most cases, as soon as the contracts are exchanged, the vendor will enter into the lease with the tenant. But the main thing is you make sure that it is in place and has commenced before settlement, which is generally 60 days anyway. And by doing this, you thereby avoid having to pay GST. And that said, in most cases, you'll actually find the property tends to be in a different entity to the operating company, or the operating company the tenant's staying on is different from the vendor. And generally, you'll find that in that case, the formal lease can be in place prior to settlement. Now, if that's not the case, GST will need to be paid, and then you simply recoup the amount of GST with the lodgement of your first BAS return. And that means it's merely a cash flow issue. So yes, you pay it, but you can claim it back. So hopefully this misconception of it being an exercise, as I said, is a pump and dump by the vendor. In other words, putting the rent up and then just cleaning out as much cash. You're starting to see that there are benefits, and that misconception ought to be dispelled, because the vast majority of these deals, I find, are done for strategic business reasons rather than simply a grab for cash. And my experience would suggest that these often end up being your best form of long-term property investment.
Well, I know from my perspective, you have filled in a lot of gaps, because this was certainly one area about which I knew very little.
Look, it's not something you come across every day, but hopefully we've been able to uncover a number of benefits, plus the added potential flexibility that you have in structuring a worthwhile deal.
Yes, I'm sure our listeners have found this very helpful. So thank you for explaining everything to us.
Well, once again, it was my pleasure.